fantastic with you. Why, hello.
Because you'll be out of the room.
Yes. Yes, I will. 503. I'll be here watching the Edward R. Murrow award-winning reporter interview him.
Totally.
It's 503-733-2970.
I'm not going to read this email, but thank you.
503-733-2970. In just a few moments, we'll be joined by Clyde Lewis, who got a nice little write-up in the weekend section of the Oregonian. So bully for him. And we got the Scott Daly from Film Fever Radio coming. Let's see. And we got somebody about Allah snacks. And a guy about a logging truck, so we'll get those in a second. But first, ladies and gentlemen, at the Ministry of Truth, he is your president, prophet, seer, and revelator.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
There's more dental work ahead for Tusco the Elephant at the Oregon Zoo. He weighs 6.75 tons, he's 35 years old, and has spent 14 years with a broken tusk. That must have been painful. Well, they tried to remove a part of the tusk, but they left a big chunk and they couldn't, well, they didn't have the instruments to take it out. After 4 hours of search, we discovered our tools were not long enough to reach all of the tusk. Therefore, he's going to wander around with a half a tusk. Elephants lie down to sleep, so they only have a few hours at a time because of the large body mass. They yank a tooth, but they didn't have the proper tools.
Now, but breaking a tusk seems painful, but it wouldn't be, though.
Probably not, no.
Not to the elephant. That would be like us breaking a nail.
Yeah.
It's like you think of, because you think of a tusk and you think of it like their teeth, but they're really not.
Right.
It's like hair. I mean, it just sort of sticks out. So
I've been wandering around that way for 14 years.
Yeah, I only say that because people think, like, I was watching a movie the other day. Oh, it's in 300, actually, where an elephant, like, breaks a tusk or whatever. Anybody, the elephant, oh! But, I mean, probably the elephant really doesn't even feel it. Like I said, because it's not even, because it's not a tooth. It's like, it's like just a long, it's just like a long fingernail. All right. Here's Tim Riley.
Meanwhile, senior citizens have just as much trouble as elephants, except if you're 65 years or older, falls are a leading cause of death and the most common reason for hospital visits for those of that age. But you have to expect it, says the Cleveland Clinic.
About 1 in 4 people who have hip fracture end up dying in about a year. It's also associated with a lot of mobility problems. Once you get a hip fracture, you have a lot of pain, you have a lot of fear of falling, and as a result, you end up getting weaker over time.
That's Dr. Ronan Factora of the Cleveland Clinic. Says a number of things get in the way and make senior citizens fall.
Certainly things like loose rugs, clutter that's laid around the house, cords. Those are all traps, ways that a person can end up falling and breaking their hips. So trying to remove those from the home can certainly increase home safety.
No carpeting, please.
Oh, no, stepped on you. I'm sorry. My fault.
No.
Fracture.
I barely knew her.
I was just going to ask about being an old person, and what is, I'm not trying to start a whole thing, but what is the deal with old people and hips? Do you get the feeling when you're an old person, you just, is it that you're just walking along and it's like your hips are just disintegrating away with just throughout the day when you're doing nothing particular, and then you just decide to, you know, well, I'm going to get up and go to the fridge, you know, and then your hips just go out? I mean, is that it?
I guess so.
Why is it always hips with old people?
I use hips a lot.
I guess.
They're one of the most used parts of the body.
I suppose that's true. It's just sad that, like, you can, you know, you live your whole life and you can be rugged and be, you know, whatever, and then, you know, you fall, and then that's it. You know, 25% of old people, you fall.
Stick in a rascal for the next 30 years.
Totally. One day you fall, and I wonder if that, whatever happened to that woman from the, I've fallen, and I can't get up, that woman.
Well, that was several years ago.
I used to, can I just tell you, man, I
thought she was hot.
No.
You had that tone of voice. I figured that's what that was.
I know, you totally have a creepy sweetheart.
No.
That's like a Rick special friend.
I didn't. Well, she can't get up. She can't run away.
My kind of woman.
The most she can do is crawl for help. That'd take forever.
What's wrong with you?
You started it. Tim started it by asserting that I found the woman from the I Fallen and I Can't Get Up spots hot. And I never said anything of the sort, and it's not true, by the way. So, why would I find her hot? She's not, Sarah, she's not my type at all. You claim to know my type should know that she's not my type.
No, you type fluctuates it now and again.
And this conversation, well,
you prefer the ones with the clappers.
And then, I was going to date her, but she had the clappers. So, I was just going to say, I remember when that commercial came out. which you probably don't ever remember seeing. It's for you probably don't remember that commercial as a legitimate spot. You probably only know it as a joke, right?
No, I remember it.
I remember seeing it, when it really when it was a straight ahead, non-ironic, when they were really using it as a commercial.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you remember the, you know, I've fallen and I can't get up, and how everybody immediately, as a nation, we all laughed as one. Like, they would do the, I'm falling, I can't get up, and it didn't even go through a period where we took it seriously. Some things, they go through a period where it's serious, and then it becomes funny. That was funny to the entire world the first time we saw it.
As a matter of fact, at our party, at that place we won't talk about, somebody came dressed up as that.
I don't, really? As that woman?
They had a bathroom floor around their neck. And they were dressed as a woman who had fallen and couldn't get up.
Fantastic. Hot. But I remember I had this female friend of mine who, she was the one person who didn't find it funny, and she was horrified that we all laughed as a nation at that. So I don't understand it. She's fallen and she can't get up. What's funny about that? You got your dicks. And she was like, she was appalled that we all thought the ad was so funny. Anyway, it doesn't matter. She's dead now. So it's 503.
Is this woman or your friend?
My friend. She's dead, so it doesn't matter.
She can laugh now.
I'm just kidding. She's not dead. No, she is.
What's wrong with you?
Let's do one more, and then we'll welcome Clyde.
That's right, donkey.
Stop. That sounded so much like that news guy from the clip earlier. All right. Fracture.
I barely knew her.
All right. Let's do one more.
Breaking news. There'll be no chocolate Jesus after all. The exhibit has been canceled.
Well, but now I'm all hungry.
Go to the dollar store. They got chocolate crosses there.
Does the chocolate Jesus feed multitudes?
Maybe two.
Cheap joke. I'm sorry.
That's
well, for a dollar.
How much can you expect?
I'll stop playing these now.
Luscious.
Your own personal chocolate Jesus.
You have to be. Someone has to take that away from you. All right. Chocolate.
How come you get to play yours whenever you want?
I only have the one. That's all I've got over here. It's just the one. I don't play the Chinese waiter one. Waiter.
I barely knew her.
See, that's all I've got over here. All right. And see, there's a whole lot of, you know, the chocolate Jesus. There's a whole lot of, you know, creamy body of Christ. And there's all kinds of jokes I wasn't going to make. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show.
Who?
Clyde Lewis. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show. Standing in the hallway, can't hear me. Welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show from groundzeromedia.org. Clyde Lewis, Portland's original hairy, scary guy. How are you doing, sir?
How's it going?
What's up with you, brother man? You sound good on that microphone.
Oh, thank you.
This isn't your first time in the studio, is it?
No, it isn't. I remember I was here for the inaugural, actually. I just got back from Salt Lake City, and
You sound great on that microphone.
Well, thank you.
Let's also welcome from filmfeverradio.com our good friend, Scott Daly. Hello, sir. How are you?
Well, I'm doing well. How are you, sir?
We're dandy.
Fantastic.
It's been one of those days. I think we're going to try to rustle up. Is there another pair of headphones on the back shelf there? There was a spare pair of headphones on the back shelf at one point earlier
spare
today.
Spare.
I guess not. I guess they've gone away. All right. Well, never mind.
We can trade off for.
It's okay. It's all right. So hey, first of all, so is this the Oregonian or the Tribune, Clyde?
It's the Tribune today.
Tribune. Okay. So I misidentified. The Tribune's a great write up in the weekend section of the Tribune.
I was really surprised at how great write up it was. I'm just really excited and flattered actually that this film. I mean, it was really interesting is that Art Alexakis and Daria actually got second billing, which I thought was kind of interesting.
And the woman, or whoever it is that wrote the article, specifically said, they talk about this movie you're in, The Day Called X.
Right.
And they specifically said, can I see the article?
Yeah.
She actually says at one point, I guess I should quit saying she, whoever it is that wrote
it. Yeah, it's Anne-Marie DiStefano.
Anne-Marie DiStefano.
Yeah.
Says, blah, 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 blah. Dalton certainly could have delved more deeply into the question of Lewis, blah, blah, blah. So she's basically saying it's a good film, but it would have been better if there were more you. I mean, that's really what it says. I mean, she says in some way that you're the best thing in the film.
Isn't everything better with more Clyde Lewis?
Though? It really is.
I mean, come on.
The secret ingredient is Clyde.
The secret spices.
An herb and a spice.
So the...
Hopefully a drug.
And so it says... And so, but she says that, you know, the you're the clearly the best thing in it. And so this is... this start today or tomorrow?
It starts tomorrow. It'll be at 8:30 at the Laurelhurst 3. And from what I understand, there have been at least 400 requests for advance tickets, and they don't sell advance tickets.
Excellent.
Wow. So maybe it'll be a riot.
Yeah. I think it's because a lot of people are coming to see just the whole... I mean, you're in it. You're in it at least, two or three times. Tim Riley has his own segment in it. It's really cool.
Did you know that, Tim?
The back of Sarah's head and her face, which is nice. You're in it.
Really?
Yes, you're in it. Because this is when you first started with the show.
When I was interning?
Yeah, when you were interning. So you're in it.
See how unnerving it is that we're all in this movie and none of us remember being filmed?
In fact, Rick is being interviewed through the film and all of a sudden he goes, here's Seth dealing with traffic. And he goes back out and he goes as if nothing happened. Just it's amazing because it's like they had, I don't know where they bring the cameras in or what, but there's some sequences where I don't even know that I'm on camera and so I'm doing things like itching my ears and mocking a Novaltine commercial and everything else. Yeah, I look like a monkey sitting. You're picking for lice in that one scene. But anyway, it's pretty funny.
Someone needs to talk to you about how to correctly position a film.
Well, I mean, what's really funny is that I looked at it. I've seen it three times, and I saw it. And at first I saw it, and I thought, yeah, it's all right. And then the second time I saw it, I thought it was funny. And then the third time, it creeped me out. Because
if you keep watching, it'll become the best film you've ever seen.
I felt as though that I was like John Waters, and instead of having like a transvestite following me around, I have a Klingon following me around. So it's kind of funny because of all the decadence and crap that I've bring around when
and so this is tomorrow night at the Laurelhurst?
Yeah, tomorrow night at Laurelhurst at 8:30. I suggest you get there early to see exactly how they're going to be scheduling it because, you know, they do... You know, they run into each other. The films will be running into each other. And there is a, there are a number of films that are being shown. In fact, a lot of great films. Darius Goes West is going to be playing there. There is a film with Art Alexakis. There's a film with Dario O'Neill in it. And there are a few films in there for local celebrities are going to be in. And, and I'm really excited because I've never had a film actually done about me, you know, where they actually, you know, thought that I was an interesting subject. But Rick's in it. It's really cool to see Rick. Too, because he looks younger.
When was this footage of me filmed?
2003.
So what, 4 years ago?
Four years ago.
I was a sprightly 30 years of age?
Yeah, but you look like you're bouncing off the walls. I mean, you look like...
How's that different?
I mean,
now.
Now he's a little bit more mellow. And
the life has been beaten out of him.
Yeah, we've kind of been worn down, I think. But,
seriously, the spark has been extinguished in my eyes.
There's some really good moments. And Tim, of course, there's some good... There's a great scene where they're walking down the hall of the old studios. I didn't know the hall was that long.
It was a really long hall.
Yeah, the camera adds 10 feet generally.
Yeah, it was just crazy because, it's just a long walk down a hallway. I didn't remember it being
Work in a building like that again.
No.
I mean, the days of work with just two radio stations and then just acres and acres of empty office space.
Yeah.
Yeah, those days are gone.
Yeah, it was pretty interesting to see. But you know how you said about private parts? You know, it's like watching yourself work. So basically what...
Did I say that?
Yeah, you said that when you went and saw Stern...
I don't remember being filmed. I don't remember saying that.
No, you didn't say the movie, but I'm just saying. I remember you and I talked
Mickey
once
before they
we went and saw Private Parts. You said that. It's like watching yourself work.
Hey, Clyde, is there any plans for distribution of the film? What's going to happen after this show tomorrow night?
As far as Fulton has told me, Fulton gave me a call, and he said that I can do whatever I want with it once it's shown. So, I mean, I'm probably going to be... doing some other things with it eventually, using it for promotion
and the
stuff.
Epoxies do the music to this.
Yes, and what's really funny about that, there's a great story there. So I'm talking at Dante's, and I'm saying, hey, come see the movie, blah, 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 and the Epoxies, and blah, 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 and the Hell Candidates are in and stuff. And so I'm sitting there, and Brian, who works at Dante's, comes up to me and taps me on the shoulder, and he goes, so the Epoxies are doing the soundtrack. And I said, yeah. He says, I'm the lead guitarist of the Epoxies.
No one told me.
No, and he says, yeah, I didn't know I was doing
that. That's just, this is like a full-on Chubby Rain thing. No one knew.
I didn't know. I mean, I get this letter. Hey, we made a movie about you and Rick and the whole gang back in 2003. We finally bring it to a film festival. And I'm like going, you're kidding
me. Have you seen Bowfinger?
No.
With Eddie Murphy. It's a great gimmick, actually.
So great.
It's where these guys are attempting to make a movie starring this Hollywood celebrity, but the deal is he doesn't know he's in it. And so the celebrity doesn't know he's in this movie.
So the crew has to follow him around.
So they chase him around, and like people run into the frame with him and say a line of dialogue and then run away, and they film it all guerrilla style.
About aliens.
And he's just like standing there buying the morning paper, and they'll run and stand next to him and say some dialogue while filming and then run away.
It's fantastic. It's written by Steve Martin. It stars Steve Martin and Eddie Murphy.
Eddie Murphy.
Oh,
it's hilarious.
And it takes, it's got this whole, there's this whole religion cult thing in there called Mindhead. Which is clearly, which is clearly a shot at Tom Cruise and company.
Welcome to Mindhead.
It's a great movie. But the movie is called Chubby Rain, and it's a horror film about aliens that come down in giant raindrops. They come down in giant...
Chubby Rain is like the most awkward phrase I've ever heard.
They come down in giant raindrops.
It's got Heather Graham is in it. She's like the starlet who's up and coming. She just got off the bus
and
from Iowa.
She's clearly supposed to be Anne Heche,
oh,
by
completely,
the way.
Yeah. Completely.
Steve Martin made it right after getting dumped by Anne Heche.
So this movie's all full of
F.U. The movie's just got F.U. written all over it.
So this is kind of like Chubby Rain.
It is totally. Clyde Lewis's own Chubby Rain.
Chubby Rain.
No, Chubby Rain is fantastic. Rain. It's the best.
That's a great analogy of this film. That's perfect.
The epoxy guy doesn't know.
No, the epoxy guy didn't know that the movie was
in
it.
I don't know why I'm in it.
I don't even think the Hell candidates know that they were in it. And I don't even think Slayer Hippie knows that he's in it, because he's in there just kind of like, you know, saying goofy things. And I don't know whatever happened to him. I mean, he was in the band Poison Idea. I don't know if people know about that band.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. He was in there, and who else was there that probably doesn't know that they're in it? Kind of thing.
I'm sure the lawyers will let you know.
I'm sure everybody will sue later. Yeah. We were on camera. We didn't know. And so, yeah, that's a funny thing. So I'm glad they didn't give me doing anything except, you know, cleaning out my ears.
You may have to borrow Scott's headphones for this. Wear a pair of shirts. This is Patrick is on the phone. Patrick, hi. You're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, Rick. Hey, Clyde. Congratulations on the movie, buddy.
Thank you.
Hey, you and I used to work together, and I have always been wondering what you're up to, man. But, hey, it's good to know that the rest of the world now gets to know the insanity and brilliance of Clyde Lewis.
Yeah, well, I sat there and I'm thinking to myself, you know, does anybody, if they see this film and they don't know anything about me, are they going to watch it and they're going to think, this guy is crazy? Because I sat there and I stepped out of myself for a minute and I thought, you know, I am pretty nuts. I didn't realize how nuts I was until I watched myself. And so it does say in the paper today, it says there is a point where you don't know the difference between self-parody and the reality and whether or not I believe it or I think it's all just crazy. So,
well, I think that's what makes it so great. It's really a mystery. It's like, it's Clyde Lewis for real? Does this take himself seriously? Is it a joke? That's what's great about the mystery.
Yeah, well,
I'm here to say, though, Clyde Lewis, it is for real.
Yes, it is. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
For real, yeah.
All right, there you go. This is... hello. Hi, Rick Emerson. Who is this?
Keanu.
Hey, what's up?
Well, I was driving up through the tunnel to the west slope, and I guess there was a landslide here today or a couple of days ago. They're putting up the fencing right now, so there's a... kind of a traffic
hell
out there.
There hasn't been a second one. Tim, has there been a second landslide?
I was just on the 26th. They're just working on it. They're putting up a fence. They have a bunch of mesh up there, and they got guys climbing up there, cutting down trees.
All right, so I think that they're probably just forestalling against the possibility of a future landslide.
Yeah.
There's some karate coming down off of it.
And Stevie Nicks is still out there sounding like a goat. When she sings slime.
I was just going to say the same thing.
We made that joke like 4 days ago. All right, thank you, sir.
She was just on the Today Show this morning. She sounded like crap. Did you hear? She was doing Rihanna, and it just sounded like garbage.
Okay, we got a break here, but you know what Joni pointed at? Because Joni, and I don't want to start a whole thing, but Joni doesn't like Stevie Nicks. And it's just, and you know, that's okay. We're just going to have to agree to disagree on all that.
Some people don't like Steely Dan.
No, but she's got this whole thing about how Stevie Nicks sounds like she's in the Lollipop Guild.
She does.
Horrible.
We were making fun of her yesterday. Yeah, it was right. Funny.
Let's take a break here.
Okay.
503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Here's Scott Dowley from FilmFeverRadio.com. Clyde Lewis from Ground Zero and from the new movie A Day Called X, playing tomorrow at the Laurelhurst. Back with Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth. Like us at 3, Donna Mike at 7. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Don't go anywhere. Show at 503-733-2970. I kept spitting blood out of my mouth, but I couldn't get rid of all of it.
There you go.
Sorry, Lisa.
503-733-2970. We'll rejoin Scott Daly and Clyde Lewis here in just a moment. Like us at 3, Dynamike at 7. This week in the Fuel Show, 9 to 11. Also, don't forget, starting tomorrow on this very fine radio station, the premiere of Car and Driver Radio, which is 6 to 9 a.m. immediately preceding the Fuel Show. That is tomorrow, Car and Driver Radio, with host Alan Taylor. Tomorrow, 6 to 9 a.m., followed by the Fuel Show with Dennis Pitzenbarger, 9 to 11.
So it sounds like all autos all morning on Saturdays.
Yes, it's fantastic.
My at least it won't be automated.
Come on, come on. Where is it?
Oh, sorry, that's a little. There you go. With the.
From the Ministry of Truth.
Fantastic.
This is Tim Riley.
And that's laughing on a Friday, mind you.
That's all you're going to get out of them.
Normally, your wit has run dry. If you're me, their wit was gone an hour and a half ago. Tim continues to bat thousands.
Oh, here we go again. There's somebody lost in some godforsaken country of Oregon somewhere. Luckily, it's not snowing. This lady calls 911. She says she's lost somewhere between Garberville, California, and Brookings, Oregon. She doesn't even know what state, for goodness sake.
Brookings. Gunsmere.
Brookings? That's like near Woodburn.
Oh, that's Brooks. Sorry.
Now you're getting your more lost. So they send pilots out from Oregon to California to try to find this lady. Even the Coast Guard is out. She's driving on water.
Why would the Coast Guard be looking for her?
They sent the Coast Guard out. They want to cover all bases.
Is she smuggling something in her rectum?
Well, schools out the river in the town of Vader. Washington.
Wait. Yes. Vader?
I barely knew her.
Okay.
Well, there's only one school there. And all the kids, all those from kindergarten to the 8th grade, are all clumped into one room. So now the school's going to close because the taxpayers didn't want to vote to fix up the plumbing and electricity. Of course, students who live there really don't have much of a future anyway.
How do you know?
Apathy. Nothing like it.
Well, wait, have you, you've been through Vader, have you?
Yes, actually.
The only thing good in Vader, and this is true, the only thing good about that place...
There is one burger flipping job.
I was literally, though, there is a burger and, like, ice cream place that's fantastic. They make a mean ice cream cone.
I broke down in Vader once.
Really?
Yeah. We were driving back from Seattle, and my chains on my... It was snowing like crazy, my chains busted.
There's
on my
no
car.
One there to help you with
nobody.
That.
Nobody. We're screwed.
If the hamburger place is closed, you will wander in the forest for weeks. There's no one there.
It was the burger store.
Nobody would know how to fix a broken chain. There's no education going on.
No, you can stop.
What?
And your horseless carriage doesn't seem to be working.
Well, where's your horse?
Last but not least, grisly details are being released in the case of the man accused of killing his girlfriend and burning her remains in a barbecue grill. This, of course, is in Texas. We touched upon this lightly earlier in the week.
Huh?
Yeah. 27-year-old Timothy Wayne Shepherd is charged with murder in the death of his former girlfriend, a 19-year-old Texan gal named Tynesha Stewart. According to a search warrant, investigators found more than a dozen pieces of bone and hair in Shepherd's apartment. Oh. They also saw items such as an empty bleach bottle, steak knives, hammers, and a How to Grill book.
Well, if you're going to do something, you might as well do it right. Exactly.
Seriously. Have a good weekend, everyone.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, Tim Riley, greatest newsman in the history of the world. Thank you. Fantastic.
Well, he was a self-starter. I mean, you know, he didn't wait for other people to teach him. He went out and he found that, you know.
But the question is, did he use a gas grill or a
The power of a library card. Well, we were talking about... No, seriously.
You're right. I think he just gave up and went to the Outback.
Man. That's one of those... That we were talking about earlier in the week, though. I was saying, like, how is it possible to get rid of a whole body on two grills when the grill only goes to, like, 400 degrees, and you got to get, like, 1,200 degrees to get rid of somebody's bones. But apparently, so I'm told.
Okay.
But apparently, it takes hours, and you got to smash them up with a hammer first.
Wear them around your neck.
I don't... I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
A necklace of ears or something.
A necklace of ears. The Clyde Lewis story. I think we've used up all the oxygen in the room.
Oh, my God.
All right. Being on the air with Clyde is the best thing ever.
Tim Riley vanishes into the night.
And like that,
he's gone. Okay. All right, Joshua, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
Hello. Hey, I got a question for Clyde.
Yeah.
The Society of Assassins, what are they up to?
The what?
The
The old man of the mountain, the Hashishim.
Oh, the Hashishin?
Yeah.
Oh, well, they're probably now Al-Qaeda.
Can I leave the room for a while? Is this my cue? Can I go get a...
I was going to say that Al-Qaeda now wants to change their name. Did you hear about this?
No.
Yeah, they want to change their name. They want to be more friendly.
I'm bleeping that.
Bleep that. Oh, you bleeped it. Boy, that's really...
You kind of quick on the draw.
Okay, but Clyde.
Yeah. Are they a sponsor? What?
Well... At the moment, they are. Yes, we would like to keep them a sponsor.
Okay, well,
if Rick was put on a draw, they still are.
Good job, Rick. Thank you for keeping me in line. I appreciate it. No, they became
sponsor.
I think he's gone now, right?
No. We've been stomping around their turf for a little while here, and I expect I would have heard from them in one form or another. Are they just done as an organization?
I think they just changed their name. I think they changed their name. They keep changing their name. They're anything from the Mujahideen to the Al-Qaeda people to the whatever. And I think that they're going to change their name again because they say they don't like the PR.
They're changing their name again.
That's the case, they're going to be a lot less subtle.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, they said that they just don't like the image that Al-Qaeda gives them, so they want to change the name something.
Yes, the name is what gave them that image.
Yeah, seriously, it's the name, not so much the killing.
That's good.
Yeah, the name, the killing.
It's going to be Jack Russell's Al-Qaeda.
They got a new public relations.
Yeah, I'm dying over here. Thank you.
The focus group.
Yeah. Al-Qaeda does the problem. It's really the marketing that they need.
He walks into a bar with a bomb strapped to his chest. Bad image? I think so.
I'm sure Wieden and Kennedy can turn that around any day now. Look, we've got a challenging client.
We'll throw a party.
They have 98% recognition, but a lot of negatives.
How can we, you know... Fluff it up a little bit.
Is it too soon? It's not too soon.
No, it's not too soon. It's just right. It feels good.
Okay.
Everything feels good with Al-Qaeda.
We're done. Stop now. We're backing up. We're done now. Scott Daly, what is opening this weekend, if anything?
Blades of Glory is really the big one this weekend with your favorite, John Heder.
Yeah, see, I've learned to accept Will Ferrell and to find him funny.
Well, John Heder, sometimes, though.
The thing about that guy is...
Is it Heder or Heder?
I don't know.
It doesn't matter.
Obviously I loathe Napoleon Dynamite, but my thing with that guy is...
You get him for his character.
No, it's like I can separate him from the character.
Right.
So that's the thing. Is it just doesn't look to me like he can act at all.
Every role I've seen him in is Napoleon Dynamite like.
He does a lot of mouth breathing.
Yeah, completely.
And he mouth breathing and like a lot of slack-jawed staring.
Exactly.
I mean, and that's... I understand that, you know, he's not Napoleon Dynamite, but he doesn't really seem to have much else in his bag.
Nah, he really doesn't. And with Blades of Glory, there's nothing else there, really.
Funny?
No.
It was
amusing.
The only thing I saw in the trailer that made me laugh was the ice mascot on fire, skating around the ring on
fun.
Fire.
That was pretty fun.
I just liked the silence when they were skating around and he had his crotch in his face.
Well, see, that's what's funny about the film. Is there is one thing about Heder's character is of this weird fear he has of getting too close to his partner's, you know, area, manly area, and they kind of play off that really well. That's kind of funny. The relationship between the two is funny, but there's nothing there.
I mean, if you
get drunk or do whatever before you watch the movie, you might enjoy it, but other than that, it's really kind of waste time.
That's disappointing.
Hey, so, I mean, a lot of that comedy is hard to do, though, because some of it, like a lot of the stuff Will Ferrell does, he's funny for reasons you can't really define. It's all in the delivery, and to go back to Anchorman again, mm-hmm. we're talking about all day today. A lot of that stuff in Anchorman is hilarious, but it's like you look at it on the page, and there's no reason it should be funny. Like when he says that thing about, you know, I have many books that smell of rich mahogany. I mean, I guess that's funny, but if you saw that on the page, you wouldn't, like, bust a gut at it. But it's like, it's just the way he delivers those words, you
right.
know? And
right.
so if you can't pull it off with that John Heder guy, it doesn't look like he can.
Yeah,
then the whole
really.
Movie just kind of goes.
Not
goes
really. If Will Ferrell kind of keeps it alive for the most part, and the two of them, there's not a whole... I mean, you know, it's mildly amusing.
The right. definition of San Diego is always funny, in my opinion.
A whale's vagina.
You know, I still have not seen Anchorman.
Not have seen Anchorman?
I have not.
Okay.
Are you serious?
What's wrong with you? However, I have seen the new Bond film, Casino Royale, finally. It came out in DVD.
Oh, with the blonde Bond.
Out.
Yeah.
freaking standing.
See, I'm not a huge Bond fan.
I am, but it took me a long time to kind of get around to see this one because in the last 10, 15, almost 20 years, the franchise has lost a lot.
You're watching Happy Feet.
Because I'm enjoying Happy Feet.
You've been watching The Wiggles.
You're watching Happy Feet instead of seeing Bond.
Blue's Clues plays a lot in our house.
Do you wish you were dead?
No, not at all.
He has to say that.
Now stop it.
But no, I mean...
Daddy's very happy.
But the...
Why did he cry, the new...
Are you done?
Y'all a bunch of bastards. Why does Daddy always smell like pine salt? What's that smell of gas in the oven, Mommy?
All right.
Okay. So, you were saying about Casino Royale.
I forgot.
Okay.
Continue.
Fantastic. I have nothing to say. I have nothing to contribute.
I will say this, though. Daniel Craig is probably is the best Bond since Connery.
Well, he's good because even I know this is a casual Bond fan. For the longest time, they were it just seemed like Bond was just becoming this parody. Like, they would cast you according to all of these preconceived sort of, I don't know, things, these preconceived character aspects and whatever. And that's like with Pierce Brosnan. Like, the joke with my friends and I when we were younger was always, like, when I remember when Remington Steele was on the air, and we would...
He'd be a great Bond.
Totally, yeah. But the reason we always said that he couldn't be Bond is just for that, because he was, like, too perfect.
Mm-hmm.
That he was actually so perfect as Bond that it was almost distracting. Like, it was almost wrong in a way. Like, he was almost like... Brosnan was almost like a guy doing a Bond act in a nightclub or something.
Well, the nice thing about this, the latest Casino Royale, not only did they bring Daniel Craig to play Bond, you know, he's a relative unknown, which is nice. You're not distracted by the fact that's Pierce Brosnan.
Totally.
And secondly, it's a gritty film. It's one of the most intense Bond films I've seen in a while. It's very well done. A great story, and it kind of gives rebirth to the Bond series. It kind of starts over the beginning of the film. He doesn't even have his 00 license yet.
Yeah,
so it kind of starts. I know it's been out in DVD a few weeks, but it's a great film. I really, really
appreciate Bond as a contribution to American culture and to the world pop culture.
I recommend it.
Yeah.
You should check it out. I think you'll really dig it.
Let's see here. Rick, I was going to link to an early script review of Anchorman, which was at an early... Oh, the link is dead, but apparently an early draft of Anchorman had the film set in Portland.
Yes, that is true.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, that is very true.
Well, see, there you go. So we've had a few people say that Ron Burgundy is based on a Portland anchor.
He used to be an anchor on KGW in the 70s.
See, Tim pointed out that I think everybody in every town probably says that. Like, you know, Ron Burgundy is based on a guy who used to live here. I wonder if it's true or not. I wonder if it's online anywhere, if you can find out. Rick, about your God candy. Don't forget pie a la mode. That's hilarious. Thank you. Rick, about the tool who was talking about Star Trek. He has his crap wrong. Undiscovered Country was directed by Leonard Nimoy. I didn't think that was true. I thought Nimoy did the one with the whales. Shatner did the one after
Shatner
that
five.
Sucked.
Right.
And then Nimoy didn't do the... Did Nimoy do six?
No, he did not do six. It was... I think it was...
Yeah, that's wrong.
I think it was the same director who did two, actually. I could be wrong on that.
Yeah,
I'm not sure.
Kubrick did it, right?
Yeah, Kubrick.
Wrath of Khan?
I might be wrong on that.
I don't know who directed any of the Star Trek films except for 4 and 5.
I know we've already got covered this. But
I think Nimoy did Rick,
the Vespa?
I know.
Vespa?
You know what? I was thinking Spaceballs. Which I know it's still unforgivable, but I was conflating Spaceballs and Star Wars.
Right. I can understand
that. He's gone from suck to blow. I was totally just like conflating the two in my head. Give me props for knowing that he used to sell Colt 45 malt liquor.
Well, we'll give you that. But
all right, yeah, I got to read this Simpsons review real quickly.
What is the deal with that film?
Okay, now listen.
Screening in Portland.
Here's the thing. I know, and not only that. I won't reveal who sent me this review. Suffice it to say, because they don't want their name, because they signed a non-disclosure at the screening.
Right, right.
Suffice it to say, it's someone that this show knows pretty well, who should have known better, should have known to volunteer the review. Why did I have to wait? Why did I have to ask? Why? Because I had to get there and like, if anybody saw it.
Can I come and look and see who it is?
Well, let me read it.
Look, you'll kill him.
Because I got to be honest. I'm like, did anybody go to the Simpsons thing? And then finally typed it out. I'm like, you should have been known.
Monday night?
It was Sunday.
Oh,
all
man.
Right. So listen to this now.
Okay.
I went to the Simpsons movie, Rick. It was not completely finished. There were a few storyboard type images and a lot of black white animation. It was not on Sunday. It was on March 20th. It was the bomb. It was hilarious. The film we were shown is not, I repeat, not the final version. We were told it was a rough cut and that some of the scenes might or might not be in the final movie. There might even be other scenes put in. I'm surprised that someone actually put it on the paper. They made everybody sign a disclaimer that they would not blab about the movie, but I guess if they were like me, they put an alias. It's not like they double-check your ID or anything. This guy signed himself Rusty Shackelford, which is Dale Gribble's alias on The King of the Hill. You may think I'm lying just to get my email read on the air, but do you want a spoiler about the Simpsons film?
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
Are you guys
You guys are outvoted. Radio's down if you don't want to hear a spoiler about the Simpsons film.
Count to ten.
Springfield Lake is in danger of turning completely into toxic waste. The town's inhabitants clean the lake up. Homer, as usual, messes things up. All of Springfield is quarantined. Okay, there you go.
Awesome.
He said it was the best hour and 45 minutes I've spent in a long while. I will definitely be going to see the completed Simpsons film in the theater when it comes out. I can't wait for the DVD. You know there'll be tons of outtakes and behind the scenes. Rusty Shackelford out.
My thing about the Simpsons film is I'm a diehard Simpsons fan. I've got almost all the seasons on DVD. I love the show. But is a film really, what could, I don't understand why a film is necessary.
They can swear.
It's not necessary.
Is that what it is? I'll be first in line to see it.
I think at a certain point you want a bigger canvas to paint on.
Yeah, maybe. Homer can have sex.
We gotta stop that. Right, taking a break.
Oh my God.
Why do you have to ruin everything?
That?
You're gonna make things ugly.
And if you think it, don't say it.
Okay.
Were you the one saying,
hey, Marge, you're me later?
Stop.
Oh, my.
Stop.
Anyway, never mind.
Stop it now. Back after this, the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970 Solid State Radio. Disgusting. Don't go anywhere. Okay, I got to read this email about Anchorman. Anyone who liked Anchorman should be beaten to death with a box of hammers and the remaining pulp shot into the sun. That's a good one. All right. That includes my close family members, he says. I hate you all.
Thank you, sir.
Let's see, what else do we have here? Rick, Kim Cattrall was also in Big Trouble in Little China.
Yes, she was.
And then he says, why do I even care? I'm gay. Okay.
All right. And she was hot.
Yeah, Big Trouble in Little China.
It is true.
And there's a whole other saga. There's another chapter in this unpleasant controversy about the Emerson History X name and who came up with it first. I don't have time to get into
that.
Is that still raging
on? I think it should be called an Emerson History X to make it sound like the movie. And Emerson History X, I think it should be called. Because this is Emerson History X, kind of cool, but an Emerson History X. Mm-hmm.
Are you confusing yourself?
No.
An Emerson.
Anywho,
that's the next film's gonna come out.
Okay.
You don't know.
Rick, I'm wondering. Are any of the CNN correspondents gonna come out to the party?
I don't think so.
Really?
That's too bad.
I don't know. I mean, who's to say? Everything is remaining.
It'd be cool.
There is a special announcement though that I can make. I'm going to be emceeing the party, right?
Yeah.
Well, too late to stop it now.
So you're going
to
be drunk before I
And
knock?
Drunky drunk.
Sure,
drunk.
I guess. Why not? No, it's true. Clyde.
We're going to see Clyde drunk. It's hilarious.
It's true. Clyde, we have asked Clyde to emcee and host the evening. So, Rick Emerson Listener Party 10, Emerson History X, which happens Thursday, April 19th, 7 p.m. Barracuda, hosted by one... Pardon me, Clyde Lewis?
Ew.
I ate some pizza and I'm going to belch. Hosted by Clyde Lewis. Pleased to be dropping off your submissions, your Rick Emerson Show memorabilia, whatever, at 2040 Southwest 1st. That address is on the website as well. We'll tag it. We'll lock it up. You'll get it back when the event is done. But we're going to try to show the entire history of the Rick Emerson Show. So you want to do that. And, of course, send your logos in. We want a listener-designed logo for Emerson History X. And, of course, the winner gets a big bag of AM 970 crap. So you can send that to Rick at rickemerson.com. Clyde Lewis, a day called X tomorrow night, Laurelhurst, 7:30?
I'm going to arrive there about 7:30. Get there early so you can get your tickets. We got word that there are a lot of people wanting to get them, and they're turning people away. I mean, because they can't get advanced. So get there, get in line, get happy. I'm going to be showing up with babes in tow. It's going to be hot. And a lot of fun.
Oh.
Babes in tow. What is the capacity for the theater?
Babes in tow, baby.
I believe you.
What's that?
What's the capacity for the theater?
I don't know. I've not been in the theater. I know the capacity for the limo is getting very tight these days, so it's going to be nice.
Scott Daly.
Yeah.
You're disgusting. Scott Daly. Clyde Lewis said it.
Codes by the end of the night, that's for sure.
Okay. We're done. We want to thank
Film Fever Radio.
Film Fever Radio. Go to filmfeverradio.com.
This week we have best ofs because Aaron's out of town this week. Next week I'm out of town.
There you go.
Yeah.
We'll see y'all soon then. We want to thank CNN Radio correspondents Lisa Goddard and Jim Roop, Scott Daly and Clyde Lewis. And a big thanks to Kristen Bowie, who ably filled in for Scotty J this week. In the news from Tim Riley, Sarah Dillon is our producer. My name is Rick Emerson. We got Likas next, Donna Mike at 7, Car and Driver Radio tomorrow morning at 6, The Fuel Show at 9. We'll see you Monday. Don't let the bastards grind you down, and please try to help the retarded. Have a good weekend, y'all. Bye.
I barely knew her.
Sarah Dillon is the smartest person.